Chapter 4. The Hunter.
Welcome back to Jeffrey's Cannibal Cookin', starring the one and only Jeff...
Click. And I'm Tom Trench. Mysteries continue to unfold at the Gold Bear Pizzeria as now up to 5 young imps have gone missing... Click.
Get your RoboFizz today at the low price of $3.99 souls. If your RoboFizz accessory happens to malfunction, we provide a 2-year warranty. Actually, just kidding! If yours breaks, you aren't getting shit. Most of you are probably slimy little fags anyway. Don't wait! Call now!
Click. All night, every night. Ozzy's Oasis, every Tuesday at 5. Click. I sit at the foot of my bed, scrolling through channel after channel of mindless manure. I've only been up for a few hours, and it already feels like it's been a long day. Some ideas on how to counteract this boredom have popped into my head, but none of them sounded remotely good enough to partake in. I didn't feel like going outside, nor did I feel like doing anything else productive. That is, if posting false information on the web is considered productive in the first place. Last time I browsed Hellchan, I was met with the ungodly sight of people wanting to bang my sister, so I haven't exactly been very active. I don't think I've made a single post in a while now. That leaves only one other option. Daily fitness. Rummaging through my closet, I find myself a stringy jump rope and some rusty weights. It still boggles my mind that despite my family's wealth and status, we never considered adding a gym here. It'd give me a lot to work with. I start with some crunches, then move on to push-ups, sit-ups, and pretty much any sort of other exercise I could think of. I'd keep going until I couldn't anymore. Pumps of the iron and swings of the rope all give me continuous energy. It's times like these where my mind no longer goes on tangents and collapses within itself. Rather, it receives a single objective and focuses on it until I'm done. Eventually, I fall flat on the floor, sweating up a storm and panting like a hellhound. If there was one thing I was thankful for, it would be learning the forbidden technique, as they would call it. It was typical for the higher end of hell to gatekeep actually useful advice concerning staying in shape and having a desirable form. As one would guess, this knowledge was passed on to me thanks to my family name.
Phew.
I pant.
That's enough for one day.
I begrudgingly get up from the floor, leaving a noticeable print of sweat. Wiping my forehead, I open the door to the halls and take in the fresh, cool air, sighing in relief. As I walk into the bathroom, I scroll through my cell phone, nearly dead on battery. I roll my eyes at the fact that I forgot to charge it overnight, but immediately recompose as I notice a notification I must have received while I was sleeping. Unknown number. Can we talk? It's vaggy. Losing touch with reality for a moment, I thought my heart had stopped beating. I squint my eyes in a mixture of concern, interest, and fear. With all the contacts I had on my phone, this was the last individual that came to mind. How long has it been since we talked? 2 months? 3? Whenever she first mentioned wanting to repurpose one of Lucifer's buildings into a hotel with Charlie... Even if I feigned disinterest at the idea, a part of me really wanted them to succeed at this project. Her girlfriend is the only honest one in this realm. And I've only treated her with apathy. Whether it was from anxiety or black-heartedness, I wasn't sure. But I might as well respond and not leave her on read. I tap the contact and attempt to call. Come on, I twiddle my fingers. Pick up.
Hey, you've reached Vaggy. Leave a message or fuck off.
With a defeated sigh, I end the call prematurely. There was no knowing what she could possibly want, and the worst part is, I don't know if I'll find out. Guess there's no use fretting over it. Probably wasn't important anyway. Entering my glossy bathroom, I enter the marble shower and exit as quickly as I went in, cleaning myself up. I notice that my stomach bruise has mostly healed, thankfully. As I head back toward my room, a biting cold pierces my skin and I
quickly wrap the towel around my frame in response. Upon opening the door, I see my usual outfit laying bare at the foot of my bed. A past recurring thought has once again invaded my mind as I stare at my clothes. It's been a while since I've switched things up, and I think I've come to realize that the fit as a whole is ill-favored. I can see why it has never helped me with my charisma, nor my general attitude. You know what? Maybe it's time for a change. Opening my sets of drawers, I toss a pair of black boxers on and quickly rummage through the rest of the bottomless pit of material. If there was one thing I wanted, it would be to keep things casual. No sense in wearing my royal fit. It just never feels right, no matter how comfortable it may feel. After a little while, I finally found something that sticks. It was a little more casual. I look at my reflection with intrigue, stroking my stubble and fixing up my drying hair. Nope, something's missing. But I know exactly what. I dig to the bottom of my drawer and find just what could make this whole thing work. A white leather racing jacket riddled with all different sorts of patches, sporting brands and names in all shapes and sizes. A gift for my 16th birthday, I throw it on and take another look in the mirror, backing up to soak in the whole view. Needs a touch up, I speak to myself. I walk back into the hall and snag a few more things from the bathroom before coming right back to the shiny mirror. The distinct pink hair curler can wasn't ordinary, but it would get the job done. But the one thing I didn't expect to ever try in my life was right in front of my eyes. Fucking ear piercings. Never thought I'd see the day where I wear something like this. It was unorthodox. Unfathomable, even. But something tells me this just might work. I hold the piercings in my hand and look closely in on them, noticing they're similar to Octavia's sigil, with a moon and star encircled within. I chuckle to myself as I come to understand that these just might have been the ones Dad used to wear in his goth rebel phase. As much as he doesn't like to talk about it, I found it quite entertaining to say the least. Despite wanting to wear these, I could never see myself being a goth in any circumstance. I'm not a raging, suicidal homosexual. Usually. Time to put these suckers on. Wait. I'm too much of a pussy. I hate sharp things. Ow! Ow! I gasp through my teeth in pain. You know, you're the last person I would have ever expected to wear ear piercings of all things. Stolas takes a sip of his coffee and continues to work his magic. Despite the oddity of the situation, he seems pleasantly surprised and happy that I'm making a change. Just gonna make the final touches here, and done. We both take a good look at our reflection. I twist and turn my body around, enjoying the new sight. I think we did a pretty damn good job. Ooh! Stolas' face turns to one of adoration. Look how wonderful you look, you handsome devil, you! He holds my cheeks and wiggles them, much to my dismay. Dad, stop, I plead. He eventually lets go. I've got to go into town. A friend called me and wanted to talk, apparently. Promise, it won't be long. All right, son, but remember... Stolas holds a finger up to my face, eyes widening. No fights, no turf wars, none of that nonsense. I'll try. I dart my eyes down to my holstered blade and pistol, unsure of whether or not he believes me. Promise? He leans down close, expecting a better answer. Yeah, promise. I shoot him a pair of finger guns. He leaves the room without a word. Why the no turf war part? I don't even follow Hell's politics. Not that there is much outside of the social circles surrounding the other royals. Oh well, guess it can't be helped. I open the door to the outside halls, only to bump into a towering figure shortly afterward. It was Mom, whose expression is one I don't think I've seen before. It was a mixture of bewilderment and a little bit of disappointment.
What the fuck are you wearing?
Stella's face scrunches up in confusion.
My new outfit?
I pose for my mother, hoping to ease the confusion. But then the autism kicks in at 100.
They call me the Rizzler. Chicks better watch out.
I give a wink, slowly realizing what utter retardation I just spat out. Stella simply rolls her eyes and walks away.
Fucking dumbass child!
I hear her whisper to herself. This is a win, right? I didn't get physically abused this time. Oh, who am I kidding? I'm a rizzless idiot that likely has severe undiagnosed autism. Autistic or not, I needed to see what Charlie's girlfriend wanted so suddenly. It could be important. Sure, it's halfway across town and easily a 2-hour drive, and I would be doing this for someone who likely hasn't given a rat's ass about me for months on end. But you know, it's fine. Not like I had anything better to do. I'm about to head downstairs to leave, but before I can, I hear a voice call out to me.
Excuse me, your highness?
A shy, undoubtedly male voice calls out. Not this shit again. I turn around to see a young imp in butler's clothing, no older than 20, holding his left arm in anticipation. This must be the new hire Mom and Dad have been talking about. He looked similar to Moxie in regards to his facial structure and hairstyle, but his hair was black instead of white, and he was noticeably taller than my acquaintance. I gently approach the young boy, who flinches back in fear. I hold out my pale hand.
Anon will do fine.
I take one step closer.
Huh?
The imp's pupils shrink further. Maybe he feels like he's messing up?
That's my name. Anonymous. Just call me Anon.
I try to beam a genuine smile for him to ease his nerves.
What's your name?
Fitzgerald, sir.
We firmly shake each other's hands, cementing a form of understanding between one another.
I'm the new butler. Also applied for the bodyguard position.
Bodyguard?
I ask.
You've got some pretty big shoes to fill, Fitzgerald. Last guy we had served our family for well over 15 years. I don't know why he left. My father simply told me the position became available.
Oh!
The young imp is held in a 1,000-yard stare as he begins to comprehend just what position he's filling in.
Just watch out during some of the more active nights, Fitzgerald, I warn. The Goetia family is rivals that simply cannot be ignored. And watch out for the plants in the garden during your night watch. Since you're new, some of them haven't processed the fact that you're one of us now. So they may try to forcefully shove you into their mouths, which may cause a little bit of discomfort.
And death. Fitzgerald takes an audible gulp and stares at me wide-eyed.
Yeah, they don't tell you these things when you apply.
I give an awkward smile and look away.
But, I have some errands to run. I might not be back until later tonight. Think over that you got the day shift today, so it should be a piece of cake. Just try to avoid the flaming white fireball named Stella.
I pat Fitzgerald on the back, whose stare continues to go on for light years.
See ya.
Leaving the imp behind, I notice how comfortable my new shoes are as I step forward. It's like I'm walking on clouds. They were certainly a better fit than those old boots of mine, which look absolutely ridiculous the more I think about it. Knockoff Tim's weren't going to be a part of my fashion taste anymore. The garage is as fine as ever, filled to the brim with various exotic vehicles. While Stolas and Octavia were typically driven or teleported somewhere, I found myself using one of the many cars in my possession as my form of travel. I was damn proud of these beauties, as I could call each of them my own.
Just kidding. I don't even have a job.
I have 2 errands I have to run today. First and foremost was to check in on my Vagitech bike. Second was to check up on the hotel and make sure it was okay. If I couldn't reach Vaggy over the phone, I'd have to ride to the hotel. At least it'll keep me out of the manor. I straddle on my bike, put on my helmet, and make my way out of the front yard with ease. The air gave off a slight chill as I breezed my way down the streets. The winter season was fast approaching, leaving the future to be cold as balls. Thank goodness for my copious amount of jackets lying about. As I sped my way towards downtown, I could just barely hear the hustle and bustle of the big city. Driving down these familiar streets, certain sounds and sights had become embedded into my memory. Looking to my left, I noticed the same pizza box I've driven past 1,000 times before. All these sinners, and nobody bothers to clean anything up. Sure, the random graffiti glamorizing drugs and sex couldn't be helped, but the smell. I veer left into what looks to be a desolate section of the area. This might be the place where that supposed eldritch junkie may be looking to stab an unsuspecting pedestrian in the back and stuff their ass with meth. I ride at a slow 30 miles an hour through the downhill streets, looking left and right at any sign of danger. The red and black buildings had their iconic, lazily boarded up windows and doors, with eyes of all shapes and sizes looking in different directions on a good number of them. Unfortunately, this is the part of Pride I had to go through to get to the auto repair shop. Knife Rape Town. It lied just outside the Pentagram's ever-intimidating presence, left to rot with whatever broke-as-fuck or deranged residents were left. I was never too fond of this place, and frankly, neither was anyone else. Its name alone makes anyone cringe whenever it's mentioned, if my lie to Moxie was anything to go by. I continue my cruise through the dead zone with a watchful eye. My heart beats at a ferocious pace. I never backed away from signs of battle, death, or any of the sort. This was different. The view of the increasing amount of dead bodies wasn't the only thing that set me on edge, but rather the presence that came along with it. It was an outside force. I'm being watched. The ground below rumbles violently, just long enough for me to slow down and unholster my pistol. The fuck? I didn't know if this Swiss and bussin' was going to do anything good against whatever prehistoric entity was after me, but it left me with a fleeting feeling of comfort. More rumbles shake the foundation as I clench onto the bike tightly, and a whistling noise comes close at an alarming rate. Huh? Boom! I'm shot straight off the ground, flying through the air like a sack of garbage towards a trash can. I'm left flailing my limbs about, desperately looking for any sort of protection. Pieces of my Vogitech sport bikes shoot in all directions, threatening to pierce right through my body at the rate of their flight. I tumble to a stop, feeling the leftover debris crumble on top of my back. My ears are ringing. I can't hear a damn thing. A world of hurt rockets through my veins, forcing me to grunt out in pain. The rocky and dirty debris sticks to every inch of me, leaving my exposed skin to experience a searing heat. I struggle to get back on my feet. This was something out of a good human anti-war movie. The hopelessness, the utter destruction, the cries of suffering. Why am I thinking about shitty media right now? I was just shot at! I just had to get up, that's it. Then I can focus on getting out of here. But I'm left frozen in awe at the sight of what shot me. It was a behemoth of engineering made out of only the finest materials, most of which looked to be gold. This piece of work looked to be a ship of some sort, with lasers and cannons firing in each and every direction. Just what in heaven was I witnessing here? This was a masterpiece of art. While I'm stuck fast to the ground, the ship begins to lower itself and open a railway downward. Smoke sprayed out from the entrance of the ship, and I could barely make out a strange figure. The first things I noticed were the odd body shape and the numerous eyes all staring into my soul. This individual looked to be a snake man hybrid, not seen in any royal family. Whoever this was had to be a sinner. The shrill voice cackled. I looked onward, and my suspicions were correct. What emerged from the smoke was, in fact, a snake man. This was just like the one Angel Dust had described to me over our walk not too long ago. I forgot his name. I don't usually care for Pentagram City's politics. Egg beings, which looked to be his minions of sorts, also emerge with their own weapons. The fact that whoever this was able to catch me off my guard and nearly blow me to smithereens is nothing to scoff at, though.
I just had to tread carefully.
You, my friend, are quite brave.
The snake points his eerily long finger at me.
Riding into a battleground like it's nobody's business. Very unwise.
In snake fashion, his S's are longer than usual with their own hiss. I respond accordingly.
That's great. Thanks for blasting my ride beyond repair, by the way. Don't you know who I am?
Yelling at my attacker and introducing myself wasn't the wisest maneuver, but it was the only option I had.
I'm Anon Goetia, son of Stolas and Stella Goetia. You fucked up big time.
Who?
He replied nonchalantly, tilting his head.
What?
Anon. Like, anonymous? Who in heaven's name named you that?
He, and his comically large top hat, strangely enough, looked at me in disbelief.
I highly doubt the Goetia would adopt a lowly sinner and give them a laughable name such as Anon. Oh well, doesn't matter. I, Serpentius, am going to kill you now.
Huh? Shit. I attempt to aim my pistol and shoot. Right as I do, I'm entangled in freezing cold black chains, the bullet missing its shot and ricocheting off the ground. Instantly, I'm thrown off once again. I flail as I soar through the air and painfully crash in front of the entrance to a drug shop, leaving a divot in the ground. My pistol is now in Serpentius's possession, leaving me only with my blade. I never knew how strong sinner bodies were until now.
Ah!
I scream out.
Another war, another casualty. You're not going anywhere.
He tugs at the chains, making me croak.
All of hell shall know the name of Sir Pip...
Penis!
A deeper, feminine voice calls out.
Not again.
The snake slouches in despair. From the corner of my eye, I catch a pink ball flying through the air with a continuous hiss. It bounces to the ground, and I lean down to get a closer look at the strange object. Pentius and I cringe away, and we only have a moment of reprieve before it explodes in our faces.
Pow!
Just for a moment, I thought I was dead meat. But I'm only blinded and coughing like an asthmatic. Pink smoke engulfed the area. It was almost nauseating with the amount of it that spread around. Another figure emerges from the smoke, chuckling to herself and juggling another smoke bomb in her hand. The figure's hair was bound up in a ponytail, swaying from side to side. My eyes go wide as dinner plates as I recognize who it is. Angel's best friend, Cherry Bomb. We'd only talked every once in a while, so we weren't ride or die. If anything, I suspect she'll take this advantage and use it against me. Finally, put me in the dirt like so many have wanted to.
Sup, you old fart!
Cherry smiles smugly, rolling the bomb down her shoulder and catching it in her pale hand.
When are you gonna learn? Anytime you try this bullshit, I'm gonna be here. You just don't know when to quit, do ya?
Pentius hisses in return, tightening my chains.
Apparently not, Missy! You're helpless to stop my army of minions!
The eggs aim all their weapons at the tomboy Cyclops, daring her to make a move. Almost sarcastically, Cherry takes out her hell phone and tosses something into one of the egg's hands, typing away.
Here, mind holding this?
Oh, sure, Miss Lady!
The egg, apparently numbered 13, hangs onto the bomb.
Say, 47, don't you wish Boss Man would shoot both of us with his cool lasers?
Yeah!
47 pumps his fist excitedly.
The boss is so awesome! I want to be like him one day!
Number 13, you are holding dynamite!
Pentius points down to the purple stick, arms shaking in a mixture of fear and anger. It's only then do the eggs come to realize their impending doom. Another explosion rocks the foundation. This time, the bomb was intended to be lethal. Both 13 and 47 are blown to millions of pieces, with strings of yolk splattering all three of us. I instinctively gag at the uncomfortable sensation, shivering in disgust. Oh! I'm just able to escape the hard grip, freeing myself. What the heaven are these punks made of, anyway? I wipe myself mostly clean of the revolting residue.
They're made of yolk, you moron! Now kindly strap yourself within my chains!
Pentius requests. Oh, so he's a mech nut and a retard. Go figure. No.
Aww!
Pentius sags, and our conversation is delightedly abrupted by Cherry dropkicking the venomous smooth brain on his snake ass, landing right back on her feet. Sometimes I wish that were me. Sometimes.
Hey, Bozo, you gonna fight or what?
The tomboy Cyclops gestures to the increasingly angry egg boys, all preparing for battle. Their weapons are clutched tight, and their faces clenched. Looks like I'm in for a good time after all. Unsheathing my blade, I can't help but let a goofy smile creep up across my face. You bet. An introductory chime rings out, revealing two anchors and a sprawling wall of text concerning a man complaining about being cucked at the bottom.
Good evening!
A lanky, uncanny spokeswoman greets her audience.
I'm Katie Killjoy!
And I'm Tom Trench.
Another humanoid sinner donning a gas mask for a face slams the table in hype.
Chaos out in Knife Rape Town this evening as yet another battle for the ongoing turf war is raging near the southwest. Casualties are said to be in the hundreds, if not the thousands. The two sides yet again come to the bomb-throwing Cyclops Cherry Bomb and the proclaimed King of Machines, Sir Pentius!
That's correct, Tom,
the spokeswoman continues.
I'd say I feel bad for the civilians there, but they're all piss poor.
Both news anchors laugh heartily at Katie's joke.
Wouldn't want to be them!
You said it, Killjoy.
But wait, there's more!
The woman continued.
Mysteries are afoot as rumors of another sinner joining the turf war have gone viral! Let's take a look at the live feed!
A poor quality camera reveals an oddly human-looking sinner with elf-like ears and mystical eyes. And that loathsome sinner happened to be me. I was camera shy for the most part, but right now, I was so hyped up that I didn't care. With all the goons I've been hacking and slashing, maybe this dork could be my newest casualty.
Sir?
A skinny, likely minimum wage hellhound approaches me with the camera zooming in on my form, voice cracking at a hilarious rate.
Can you tell the audience what's going on right now?
Who was this schmuck? I'm having the time of my life right now. I give a smug smile, knowing what would happen next to this unfortunate soul.
No.
Please?
He was practically begging me to do this shoot for him.
We just want to know what your name is, as well as your goal.
I look up to the screen on display on one of the buildings, showing my figure in a horrifically shit light. With all the explosions, gunfire, and screams happening in the background, I figured it was time to get this over with and get back to having a blast.
Your mother.
I lean in toward the camera, then take a step back.
What?
Giving my best effort, I Sparta kick the camera right in its lens, knocking the hound down on his ass and breaking the likely two-figure device. The hound's nose bleeds profusely, and he crawls back before inevitably gunning for it. Gazing toward the screen, I notice the camera is still on, lens littered with cracks across it. I pick it up and say something that I think would be cool.
Well?
The mysterious entity speaks in a very poor French accent.
Off to visit your mother!
Fuck. He says, walking away. The feed cuts off, leaving Katie and Tom dumbfounded. They had no idea what they just watched.
What a weirdo!
The masked man squints his eyes towards where the feed was.
Anyway, it's time for the commercial break. We'll be back with developing stories.
Yes, we will.
Katie grabs her coffee cup.
Huh, almost forgot.
Wait, no!
The steaming hot liquid is poured onto Tom's crotch. The man grips downward and falls out of his chair.
Motherfuck!
The TV finally goes off air, letting me get back to my work.
So, how'd you get caught up in this mess?
Cherry stumbles over, caressing her bombs as if they were her babies.
Didn't think someone like you would be into this stuff.
I'm usually not. I shrug, smiling. Think I might have to do this more often, though.
Gotta say, I like the new look, Anon.
I take a look at my own form, blushing a little bit.
You too. Satan bless it.
Cherry covers her mouth, trying desperately not to break out into laughter.
You really are dumb, you know that?
Huh. Yeah.
For just a moment, I think about all the other times I've been called similar things before, but I don't let it keep me down. In all honesty, I was having the time of my life, even if it was blasting sentient eggs of all things.
Mind handing me one of those bombs? I need to try something.
A sick idea pops into my head.
Yeah, here you go.
Cherry hands me a grenade to which I pull the pin. I find another egg boy charging me, and I take the opportunity to stuff it down his throat. He chokes and gags as a child would on a piece of sausage before I throw him like a football at his comrades.
3, 2...
A bullet whizzes through the egg, prematurely activating the grenade. Cherry and I are knocked off our feet as hazy smoke engulfs our vision. Coughing like an asthmatic cancer patient, I wobble as I stand back up.
Hey, bitches!
Through the smoke, I see an all-too-familiar twink walk over the debris. All 6 of his arms are twiddling and messing with various types of weaponry, playing with them as if they were toys. I chuckle to myself. Despite all the bullshit that's happened today, it was good to see my friend join us.
Hey, shit-ass, you're late.
Cherry holds her hands on her hips in disapproval as she judges Angel.
Yeah, I know, baby. But can you blame me? I was working overtime today. Had to do a gangbang and a little bit of fetish shit.
The spider joins us on the action, utilizing everything he had to take down as many grunts as he could.
Fuck, I needed this. Would be nice to get someone to blow me after all this is done. Really make it come full circle, you know?
I stare blankly at him for a moment, unsure of how to interpret his words. This seems to happen a lot. Angel says something completely out of whack, and then I spend the next minute trying to process whatever the hell comes out of his mouth. Boys will be boys, I suppose. We've been going at it for a few minutes, but our fun is cut short by a car's horn. I look behind me, and a tacky pink limousine lies before me, parked near the sidewalk. I know exactly who that belongs to. I wanted to get the fuck out of Dodge. I wanted to run away. But I couldn't bring myself to move an inch. I don't know exactly what I did to land in deep shit, but I had to face it one way or another. A raspy, muffled voice with a thick accent made its way to my ears.
Angel, you little shit.
The back window rolls down, giving me a good glimpse at...
Vale, I'm off the clock. What's the matter now?
Angel puts his weapons away as he considers the situation we're all in.
You thought you could just leave work without notifying me? You thought after you did your shit you could just up and leave? To fuck up the shitty reputation I already have?
Valentino gets out of the car and confronts Angel with an accusatory tone. Angel looks away from his boss, knowing full well that escalating the situation would make it worse for everyone involved.
No.
I'm sorry, Angel Cakes. I think you meant to say, I messed up, Mr. Valentino.
The anger that once raged throughout the rat quickly faded as if it were never there, replaced with a calm exterior.
I messed up, Mr. Valentino.
Good boy.
Valentino's gaze turns to me. My blood freezes in its wake. I had no idea what he could possibly want with me. But I was just about to curl up in a ball and die. He probably knows that I'm a Goetia, but unlike Vox, I doubt he cares.
You.
He squints his eyes at me. I look to the preoccupied Pentheus, and then to the stunned Cherry, begging for one of them to do something, to somehow get me out of the hole I somehow dug myself in.
Me?
I gesture to myself.
Yes, you dumb fuck. We're having the meeting today. Vox had to reschedule. I want to say something, but I can't. Why am I freezing up? Why now? Get in. He points to where Angel is sitting. I don't want to make you, and neither do you. I somehow manage to free myself from my catatonia, briefly huffing to myself before making my way to the limo. The inside was intricately delicate, with glossy material left and right making itself known. The pure leather seats hold a certain warmth to them. However, I'm pulled from my gawking as an unfamiliar voice chirps up.
Hey, kid.
It says with perfect clarity.
Whoa, shit!
I'm jump-scared back into the seat, and I see none other than the towering TV center Vox in front of me, legs crossed and holding what looks to be a nice cold bourbon. The car begins to move, and I can only watch the shocked faces of Cherry and Pentheus as we're practically kidnapped. He swishes the drink, smiling to himself as he watches the liquid spin.
We had to reschedule for today. I'm sure that a nice man such as yourself doesn't mind.
His smile twists into one of power. He knew what I had to say in order to not potentially get vaporized.
Hey, voice sounds better.
I shrug, not entirely believing what I was saying. The television's face glitches a little bit in response, donning an unamused expression. Fuck. Abort.
Different. Yeah, different.
I stumble over myself. My foot tastes reminiscent of salt today.
You're right. Got a new voice box.
Vox points at himself with inane smugness.
Now I sound even sexier.
I look over to Angel, praying for some sort of intervention. I find no solace in his silence, so I attempt to man up and speak.
Yeah. Say, is that a bourbon in your hand, Mr. Vox?
I point to the pristine glass.
It sure is. Oh, where are my manners? How do you like your drink? On the rocks? Old-fashioned? Anything you like, kid?
He gives a sly wink.
Even the real strong shit that'll kill ya.
It all tastes like piss. Might as well get shit-faced before my ass becomes akin to a donut hole.
Old-fashioned,
I reply, twiddling my thumbs.
I'll get it myself.
All right, buddy.
From his tone, I assume Vox thought I didn't know what the hell I was doing with my drinks. I was no stranger to a little bit of amateur bartending. Mom and Dad would often have me make all sorts of drinks, mostly whiskey, for pompous guests in the estate. Was supposed to keep me involved, or whatever. Could never get myself to drink any of that stuff outside of parties, but the guests claimed my work was passable. So maybe it's all right. I pour and mix the ingredients of my drink and take a hearty sip. Not bad. Not great, but not insufferable either. I'll take it.
Ah, I see you're also an Angel's Envy enthusiast like myself.
Vox gulps down some of the drink, seemingly unfazed by the burning in his throat.
That hint of cinnamon is great, no?
Valentino, unamused, cracks his own glass in his grip.
Why are you treating him like one of us? In case you haven't noticed...
He turns towards Angel.
These two shits are apparently partners in crime. Your little friend is a bad influence on my horse.
Val,
shut up, Vox. I don't care about your little endeavors. This spoiled brat is bad for business, and you don't even realize it.
Valentino's tight grip shatters the glass in his hand.
Val, come on, buddy. You're making a mess.
And what are you going to do about it, you silver screen ass?
I can see Valentino reaching for something in his holster. It was his signature angelic revolver. If I didn't do something, somebody was going to get shot, and I was not about to let that happen to me. Thus, I do something I never thought I would do. I took the opportunity to clench my fist
and throw a no-nonsense punch right in his face. I hear a distinct cracking sound as my fist connects with his mug. His hearted glasses are knocked right off his face and on the floor, shattering into a million pieces. Holding his head, he looks down at the sight of his precious tinted shades, slowly coming to understand what just happened. Then the black blood started spewing out of his mouth and nose. Silence reigned. Tinnitus overtakes me, my ears ringing and heart pounding as I comprehend what I've just done. I didn't just make a mistake. I made a fatal misstep. I had just attacked Valen fucking Tino himself, the most prominent and ruling of the three V overlords. My heartbeat accelerates to a point where it threatens to burst out of my chest. Everyone else was in the same boat. Angel had curled up to a fetal position, not daring to watch whatever happens next. The driver took a moment to look back, but quickly refocused on the road. I couldn't make out Vox's expression, maybe shock with a little bit of unholy fury. Disappointment. Resentment. I knew he was thinking of me as a pile of walking garbage. I clench my head with both hands, shivering and near the point of breaking down. This was the worst mistake of my life. And it may just be my last. My terror turns to haziness as pink smoke engulfs the interior. I can feel all the mistakes of my afterlife crawl up my back as I face my impending doom.
You.
I'm held by my throat in the hardest choke I've ever felt by a long shot. Stella was rough to deal with, but she was nothing in comparison to what I was dealing with now.
I've killed bitches for doing a tenth of the shit you just pulled.
Valentino's grazing sharp teeth grind, threatening to bite my face off.
I don't think you understand the magnitude of your error.
Wait!
Angel Dust pleads in despair.
No!
In one swift motion, his head is smashed against the back window. Like a rag doll, he falls limp on the ground. Holy shit, is he fucking dead?
There's no one to help you now, but don't worry about your little friend. I'll make sure he's only doing snuff from now on.
I try my best to salvage the situation. Shit had turned south faster than a hellhound could eat an unborn baby.
I didn't mean to. It was a jerk reaction. I'm sure a sophisticated man as yourself would understand.
I'm cut off by another tight grip to my neck.
You are not leaving this car alive!
The angelic revolver's energy shines and threatens to burn my face off with the heat.
You're fucking dead!
Enough!
Vox's voice box clips as he expresses his anger and finality. His left eye pops out noticeably larger and... what the hell? I can't think. Or move. I need... high fructose corn syrup and have an obligation to protect Pentagram City's most valuable public freeways. I need to spend my life savings on Vox products. Just able to move my eyes, I can see Valentino was under this strange effect as well. Even though this whole thing went to shit, and that Vox was probably going to tear me two new holes, I at least felt calm.
Now, Val, baby, put that away. We'll figure out the details later.
Vox's voice continues to leave us in a trance.
And you sit down.
I do as told, and the effect wears off. The former panic returns like a bat to the head. Seeing someone who I can actually call a friend bleeding from the back of his head and knocked out does nothing to help my racing thoughts. I only allowed myself to take a breather after taking note that there was no major piercing of the glass. Everything is going to be okay. Angel's a tough cookie. He'll be okay. It's all right. I catch myself staring out of the window as we approach a corner. There was someone, something in the alleyway of one of those buildings, giving me the uneasy feeling of being stalked once more. I couldn't make out much, but that smile...
Hey! Hell to Stolas's brat!
I'm yanked out of my head by the unhappy overlord sitting across from me. I was bound to be torn apart for this. But instead of continued rage, his demeanor shifts back almost instantaneously.
Now, what do you think assaulting our top guy here is going to do for everyone's image?
And not want my name on it either. I scratch the back of my head.
And also?
Vox leans in. I try my best not to screw this up, so I go for a little bit of appeasement.
Sinners will think they can change the status quo by going after you.
Right!
Vox's audio system plays a correct buzzer noise.
We can't have all this trouble, especially with your family, so I'm willing to let this one slide.
The car comes to a stop, and the driver lets us know we've arrived. The porn studio's building looks much more lively and appealing than at the break of dawn. The lights really do add to the architecture of this area, now that I think about it. Valentino smiles at me wickedly before making his way into the building with the collapsed angel dust, leaving Vox and I a moment of privacy. Just when I think I'm safe, his sharp fingers claw into my shoulder and he stares me down.
But if anybody finds out about your little stunt here tonight, I will not hesitate to make your afterlife a living fucking Tartarus. You will know suffering.
The television's head stutters with electricity.
I understand.
I nod. It's not the best response, but Vox gets the point. I walk down the filled parking lot with my potential business partner, unable to help but feel a primal terror in my gut as I potentially seal my fate.